Join me in prayer, please. Let's open this up in a time of prayer. Father God, thank you. Beautiful music. We call out to you, God. We give you the glory. We give you the praise. We give you the honor. Father God, be with me now as I speak your word. And may it be pleasing to you. And in this we ask, in Jesus Christ's name, amen. It must have been a horrible time for them. They must have been scared, confused, not quite sure what was going on. I mean, there was all kinds of promises that they thought they heard. And there was all kinds of expectations that they had put into this one man. And they couldn't quite understand what had happened. One minute they're having a meal with him. Another minute he's on a cross. Another minute he's dead and they've put in a tomb. That, to them, wasn't what was supposed to happen. They had other ideas. They had other expectations. To make things even more confusing, they're all gathered around, and the women from the camp, they went down to the tomb. And they found the tomb was open. And they went inside, and it was empty. And while they were visited by angels that said, this is what was supposed to happen. He is risen. And so the women came back to the camp and said, hey, we were just visited by some angels, and he's not there. And they were just telling this great story. And the men are like, what are you talking about? How can he not be there? We saw him get buried. What do you mean? And so Peter himself and maybe a couple others, they ran down to the tomb. They ran there and they walked in, and sure enough, it was empty. There was nothing but the rags and the linens. Peter himself picked up some of the linens and couldn't believe that, where was he? And he left confused. He didn't know what happened. None of them did. None of them understood. I mean, they were there. They watched this man heal the sick. They watched this man feed the 5,000. They watched this man do great and miraculous things. They saw him challenge the Pharisees and the priests. And to them, this was their moment. This was going to be the guy. Yes, he's going to be our leader. He's going to change everything. But where was he? He wasn't there. Can you imagine the despair? Can you imagine the, what are we going to do now? This doesn't make any sense to me. And I think some of them had given up. They said, well, that's it. We're done. And that's where we're going to pick up the story today. We're going to go to Luke chapter 24, verses 13, all the way through the end of the chapter. Now, I'm not going to read it verbatim. I'm going to jump in a couple times here and there. But this is where we pick it up. Cleopas is there at the house, and he's like, hey, I'm done here. I got nothing else to do. I'm going to head out of town. Does anybody else want to come with me? Another guy comes with him, not sure who it was. Yeah, I'm going to go down to Amos. I'm going to head down the road. It's a 7-mile journey from Jerusalem to Amos, and they were walking, talking, lost in their own conversation, in their own grief. And it's a pretty amazing story that happens here. Because some guy comes walking along with them. Just happens to be Jesus, but they don't know it. I lost my spot. There it is. They were kept from recognizing him, is what the Bible says. And I was talking with people all through the week, asking them what they thought that meant. Did Jesus himself keep them from recognizing him? Or was it because they were so lost in their pain and their misery, their loss of hope, that they just didn't get it? And there's this great dialogue that happens. And he says, what are you guys talking about? What are you discussing together as you walk along? And they stood still, their faces downcast, and one of them, named Cleopas, asked, Are you the only guy from Jerusalem that doesn't know what's going on? I mean, he was coming the same way as they were, so obviously he came from Jerusalem. Are you the only guy that doesn't know what happened in the town? And Jesus says, well, what things? What things? About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. And I'm going to stop right there for a moment. Notice I've underlined the word, he was a prophet. They, in their mind, he was no longer the Messiah. He was no longer the one that was going to take him to the next level, that was going to take him to where they thought they were going to go. They categorized Jesus as a prophet. He is just another person that he came, he did some miraculous things, he had the Spirit of God, but now they've classified him as a prophet. Just another one of those guys that came into our lives, and he's a prophet. Now, I find this kind of amusing that they're calling him a prophet. They don't recognize that he's standing right there with him. They're so lost in what they had hoped, and that's where we're going to pick it up. Before God and all the people, the chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who's going to redeem Israel. Notice the past tense. We had hoped he was going to be the one. We've lost that hope. I wonder, do we ever lose hope in what Jesus Christ does in our lives? Do we put Jesus Christ in a box on expectations on what we think he's going to do for us? Do we get this simple message of, or do we try to package him in ways that, oh Lord, if I can just get through this, I'm gonna love you forever, God? Or is it, do we say, you know, God, I'm gonna follow you, but I'm gonna, you know, sometimes there's gonna be some times where I go off on myself. They put him in a box. They put expectations on Jesus. And when those expectations didn't get met, they were devastated. They were lost. They lost that hope. I can't imagine the extent of their loss of hope. They saw Jesus Christ, that someone, as it said, was going to redeem Israel. This was going to be their king. This was going to be their ruler. And when that didn't happen and they found that tomb empty, it was over. The fire in their hearts was done. There are two things that I want to take from this part of the passage. The first is that sometimes we go through our lives and we miss that Jesus Christ is right there with us. We are so lost. We are so confused. I know for myself, I've experienced that. I've had trials in my life where I have gone through and I just did not even recognize that Jesus Christ was right there. And there's the classic picture of the footprints, and then there's the one set of footprints, and Jesus, where were you? I was carrying you. Where were you? Even in that story, he doesn't even recognize that he was being carried by Jesus Christ. Wasn't even aware that Jesus Christ is still in your life, still taking care of you, still giving you what you need. And here's a perfect example of this story. These two men, they had put this expectation. They had everything in one basket. And it was gone. And they missed the fact that Jesus Christ was right there with them. The second point that I think is just as important is the expectation aspect. A lot of people said, well, Greg, you should talk about, you know, with the pastoral search committee coming up, maybe you can, you know, do we put expectations on what we want from our next pastor? Are we going to be confused and hurt when that expectation doesn't get met? Are we going to be, oh man, he's supposed to be the next pastor that's going to take this church? Well, yes, he will be, because God is going to provide the next pastor for this church, not based off of my expectations, not based off of your expectations, but based off of God's expectations of where he wants this church to go. We're going to do things a little differently this morning. This is the first part of the message. There's a good side. There's these guys that are confused and lost and don't know what to do next. We're going to sing a few songs in just a few minutes, but I want to, I lost my place here, but what happens is they keep talking, and Jesus then answers him, because Cleopas says, you know, they crucified him, they turned him over to Israel, we lost our hope. And Jesus said, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not Christ have to suffer these things and enter his glory? And so Jesus started giving them a history lesson on exactly what was supposed to happen. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? You think that would have been a clue to these guys that he might know something about what's going on in Jerusalem. He references himself as a Messiah. He's trying to knock him on the head. Hey, I'm right here. Don't miss the point. I tried to tell you this over and over and over and over again, that I am with you. I haven't left. I'm still here. And so he did. He gave them a history lesson and reminded them. And an interesting thing happens. They get to the town, and Jesus keeps walking. And the other two are like, no, wait, come back. Why don't you have lunch with us, or dinner? Why don't you come have a meal with us? And that's when something really wonderful happens. But I'm going to leave it right there for right now, because I want you to really think about and take a moment to pray about, where in your life have you put expectations on Jesus Christ? And where in your life have you lost hope, where you didn't even recognize that Jesus Christ was with you? The band's going to come up, and we've got some special music that we're going to play, and I want you to just listen, and I want you to just put it at the feet of Jesus. Cry out to God. Ask for forgiveness. Because I know in my own life, I've been there, where I haven't recognized God, or I've put so much other expectations on God that when it didn't happen, I felt lost. So here they are, these disciples, and they're lost and they're confused, and they don't know what to do. Father God, I thank you for all that you provide. And sometimes we do get lost, and sometimes we do walk away from you, and we put expectations on you. And then when we get hurt, we just don't understand why. And when we don't follow you, we don't understand why there's so many consequences in our life. Father, I just want to put it down at your feet and say thank you for your son who died on the cross. And thank you for just being involved in my life and being a part of my life and being with me. And I pray for this congregation, Father, that if there's someone hurting out here right now, that maybe they've put all their hope into one way, and that's not the way that it's going to go. They've put their hope in you with their own expectations, not willing to accept the expectations that you have, that the will of you, what you have, is for them, Father. Be with them now as we pray and worship you, as we celebrate who you are and what it meant for you to die on the cross. Amen. Thank you.
to pray. I don't always know what to say, but you're the one that can hear my heart. And even though I don't know what your plan is, I know you make beauty from these ashes. I've seen joy and I've seen pain, and on my knees I call your name. Here's my broken hallelujah. With nothing left to hold on to, I raise these empty hands to you. Here's my broken, here's my broken hallelujah. 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 Know the things that have brought me here. Know the story.
Thank you.
And so they've invited him in to eat. And Jesus takes the bread and he breaks it. And it's then that the two disciples recognize him and they go, "Oh my goodness." And that's also when Jesus disappears. And they question themselves, weren't our hearts burning? Weren't we on fire when he was talking to us? Didn't we know it was him? I mean, he was talking to us about all what was told in the prophets, from Moses to the Psalms. He was sharing that with us. And they got up and they ran. They went back to Jerusalem and they said, "This is it. We got to get back and tell the rest of them." And so they made a 7-mile trek, and I can imagine that there were some new records broken. Because that hope that was lost, that fire that was extinguished when that vault, when that tomb was empty, guess what? It was on fire again. And I bet you, my own opinion, probably won't find it in any commentary, but I bet you they still had their own agendas in plan. They probably still had that, "Oh, he's alive. Oh, this could still happen. He can redeem Israel. Oh, we got to get back." And they make it back. And they burst into the room. And all the disciples are there talking about it. Because guess what? Jesus appeared to Peter and he appeared to some of the other people. And so they're sharing their stories. It's true. It's true. He's out there. And I think if God really wanted to be a comedian, this would have been a perfect time where he could just pop in and go, "Boo." Because he kind of does that. He pops in and he says, "Peace be with you." And they jump. They are frightened. They think they're seeing a ghost because, I mean, he one minute he's not there, the next minute he's there. Let me ask you, you don't have to show hands, but if you were sitting at a table and Jesus just appeared at the table, I would freak out. I would probably fall on the ground. And that's where we're going to pick it up, because he appears to them and he says, "Peace be with you." And they were startled and frightened. And he says, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands, my feet. It is I. I have flesh and bones, as you see." And they still didn't believe it. He was showing them his hands. "Look, it's me." And he asked for something to eat. And they say that he did that to kind of prove that he was human, that he needed sustenance. You could say maybe he was a little tired. He'd been beaten, been crucified, he'd been buried. He hadn't eaten for a few days. Maybe a little hungry. But no, he proved a point. "I'm real. I'm flesh. I'm human." And he says, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." These guys didn't get it. They didn't understand it. But then one of the most remarkable things, this is my favorite part about this whole story. This ending. In verse 45, "Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures." He knew that they did not understand it. He knew that they still had their own agendas. He knew that they just did not get it. And he said, Jesus is like, "You know what? Forget all that. Understand this." And he opens their minds. That's kind of cool. That he opened their minds. He was clearing away their own agendas. He was clearing away their own, what they thought he was there for. And he was saying, "I want you to listen to this next part. This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day." Already happened. "And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." This is it. "You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power on high." He cleared their mind. He made sure they understood that you are to be my witness. You are going to be the one that's going to share everything that you've learned about me, with me, from my Father. You are to be my witness. And if we take this book, to be true and is shared in other parts of this book, we are then to be the witness for Jesus Christ. We have the same role as these disciples. We get to go forth and proclaim the story of Jesus. A witness was somebody that saw something happen firsthand. They saw it. God made room in their head for them to finally understand it. And what's great is this part about, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. Holy Spirit, anyone? Yeah? We see it again in Acts. Wait for what my Father is going to send you. Don't leave town until you get it. And based off of that, I had a great argument with Rich about this. Because I said, isn't this where we get the Holy Spirit as the first time that the Spirit is really given? Oh, no, no, no. In the Old Testament, the Spirit was given to all kinds of people. Well, yeah, that was given and then it was taken away. And it was given and it was taken away. Moses, Spirit of God, go down the line. Samuel, Solomon, who else? All had the Spirit of God. But this is where God, whoever believes in me, you get the Holy Spirit. 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 If you believe that Jesus Christ is your Savior, if you believe that Jesus died on that cross for your sins and your transgressions, guess what? You've got the Holy Spirit of God working with you, in you, for you, by you. It's yours. And I also believe that He can clear your mind. He can clear your mind so that you can. So what does that mean? When we go to prayer, clear your mind. Open it. Allow it to be changed. Allow it to get rid of what you expect from Jesus Christ. Remove the expectations that you have from other people. And listen for God's will in your life. Listen for that voice to say, oh, I've got plans for you. I've got great and wonderful plans for you. And I'll be with you. I'll be with you. But then comes the next part that it's great. When he had led them out of the city of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Now it is finished. Now it is finished. They finally got to see him ascend. They finally got to see him ascend to heaven. Before they put him in the ground, they never saw anything. The tomb was empty. Where'd he go? Now they're out there. He's blessing them and he goes up into heaven. It is finished. Death is defeated. Death is defeated. He did it. And because they have the understanding and the knowledge, because he opened their minds, they get it. And that comes to this next part. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. How beautiful. They got to see him ascend. Any agendas that they had, done. They finally got it. And they got to witness one of the most miraculous things that I think that would be awesome to see, is Jesus ascending to heaven. What did that look like? What did that look like? And so they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Do you understand what great joy is? Happiness is joy is great joy is yes! This is awesome! We get it! Do you get it? Do you have that joy in your heart? Do you allow God to give you that joy in your heart? Or are you still holding on to all those things that don't give you joy? Or they give you happiness? Yeah. But great, wonderful joy is yours. It's for you, John. Well, don't thank me. Don't thank me. Dana, it's yours. It's all of ours. And so I want to close today. I told Sharon, I said, this part about joy, it keeps resonating in me that we need to just celebrate who God is, and we need to celebrate what it's about to be here and to worship Him and to give Him the praise and to give the glory. And I want to just take us out just rocking, just singing praise and glory to God. You know, my title for this was He is Risen, and there was a question mark because they didn't see it. He is risen with an exclamation point because they saw it, they got it, and now they get to celebrate it. So Sharon, if you and the band want to come up, we're going to celebrate. And we're going to sing our hearts out. And if we could, we'd dance, but I know that's not a Baptist thing or something. I'm not sure. But I want you to search in your hearts and find that joy that God's given you. Earlier, we put everything at the feet of Jesus and we cried out to Him and we said, God, I give it to You. I give it to You. But now, that's all gone, and the only thing there's room for in our hearts and in our minds is to celebrate who He is and what He has done for us. So will you sing loudly? Will you sing boldly? Will you give Him the praise and the glory that He deserves? I can't hear you. Will you sing to